Welcome to our next session on dispensational truth. And in this session, we're going to look at things that are the same. In our last session, we looked at things that differ from one age to the next. And here we want to consider things that are the same in every dispensation. So first, we might speak about God's moral absolutes, or the absolute truths of God, his moral attributes. They never change from one age to the next. In fact, the Old Testament ended with the book of Malachi. The Lord said, "I am the Lord, I change not." His moral standards never change from one dispensation to the next, even though his means of administering those moral absolutes might change. The absolutes themselves are, as they say, we define them as absolute. They never change. God is always holy. He's always just. He's always fair. He's always righteous and loving and gracious and kind. And he's also truthful in everything that he says and everything that he does. Now, some have wrongly assumed that the God of the Old Testament was holy and just. He was a judge, maybe even a bit cruel at times. But the God of the New Testament, Jesus, is loving and kind and gracious. They're almost different. Well, there's no difference between the Jesus of the New Testament and Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Jesus is Jehovah God. And his attributes are exactly the same as the Father's, and they never change from age to age. So these moral attributes of deity can never change. And God's standard for man also, his moral requirements are always the same as well. That never changes. Even the Ten Commandments, they were the rule of life in the dispensation of law. They were part of it. There were hundreds of other regulations. But the Ten Commandments were an important part of the moral life of the Jews in the Old Testament. Well, in grace, we don't live by the Ten Commandments. We walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, and we will fulfill the righteousness of the law. And what we see in the New Testament is the fact that 9 out of the Ten Commandments from the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament in a different setting, in a setting of grace. One of those Ten Commandments was not moral in nature, that is, the keeping of the Sabbath. It wasn't a right or wrong issue like killing or stealing or lying. In fact, today we don't worship on the Sabbath. We're not required to worship on the Sabbath. We can if we want. We can worship 7 days a week, but we are, the New Testament pattern was that believers in the church age worship on the Lord's Day, the Sunday, the first day of the week. So the moral absolutes of God's word have never changed from age to age. Another thing that hasn't changed throughout the dispensations is the doctrine of salvation. Salvation has always been the same in every age. It's always been by grace through faith and nothing else. And this is one of the major criticisms of dispensational theology. And the critics say that we teach at least maybe 2 or 3 different ways of salvation. Well, that's a terrible charge. It's a charge of heresy, really. But there were some reasons for those accusations, and I'd really like in this session to kind of speak about that for a few minutes. Maybe you've read some critiques of dispensationalists saying that we believe in 2 different ways of salvation, by law in the Old Testament and grace in the New Testament. Well, I have never met a dispensationalist who believes such a thing. That would be heresy. That's not the teaching of dispensationalists, and nor has it ever been. But there are some reasons why those accusations are around today. Sometimes men who write volumes of books sometimes make mistakes, and sometimes they word something a little poorly in one section. Well, C.I. Schofield He was one of the leaders in the dispensational movement, if you will. And he wrote that grace begins with death and resurrection of Christ, and the point of testing is no longer legal obedience as to the condition of salvation, but the acceptance or rejection of Christ. Now, granted, that was poorly worded. It was a footnote under in the Scofield Bible, the original Scofield Bible, we now refer to as the Old Scofield. It was a footnote under the comments in John 1:17. And it's quoted today continually by critics to say that dispensationalists like Scofield teach two different means of salvation. Well, granted, that wording was not very carefully chosen. And what they fail to say, however, the critics, is that in 1917, Scofield himself realized that that was very poorly worded. That's not what he meant to say. It was kind of, he never believed that Old Testament saints were saved by works. And so he corrected his mistake. And the correction was made in the new Scofield Bible. He realized that the wording was very misleading, and it happens. Sometimes if you're preaching or teaching a Sunday school class, you might say something without carefully thinking through exactly how you're wording it, and it's open to misinterpretation. Well, that happens with authors too. And Scofield corrected that mistake. However, the correction was ignored, and the quote from the old Scofield Bible, it continues to be quoted today even. And that's not fair. We might even say for men that are aware of that, it's dishonest. And not only are some of the words of Scofield misquoted, but also Lewis Berry Chafer, another leader in dispensationalism a century or so ago. And he said that according to the Old Testament, men were just because they were true and faithful in keeping the Mosaic law, and men were therefore just because of their own works for God, whereas the New Testament justification is God's work for man in answer to faith. And that was found in his volume 7 of Systematic Theology. And again, for sure, that was a poor choice of words. But in the context in which it was written, he wasn't describing how to be saved. He was talking about the distinction between positional and conditional truth, a distinction that's often not very much emphasized in Reformed circles. So I can see how they would misinterpret that. But Chafer cleared up what was obviously poorly worded, not well thought out, and he cleared it up in Dallas Seminary's theological journal called Bibliotheca Sacra, and in an article that he entitled, kind of cleverly, Inventing Heretics Through Misunderstanding. And he was really speaking about the criticism of dispensationalists by Reformed folks who say that we teach two different ways of salvation. And his point there was that if you misinterpret what somebody says, of course you can make them out to be a heretic. And that's what he's saying. The Reformed folks, for the most part, that's how they misinterpreted his words. And that is heresy, if that's what he meant. But that's not what he meant. He was asked very plainly, are there two ways or one way a man can be saved? And he said, salvation, I quote, is always the work of God on behalf of man, and never a work of man in behalf of God. This is to assert that God never saved any one person or group of persons on any other ground than the righteous freedom to do so, which the cross of Christ secured. There is therefore but one way to be saved, and that's by the power of God made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So there he cleared it up in as clear language as could be, that he does not believe in two ways of salvation. He never believed it, and that's not what he intended. That's not what he meant when he wrote words that were misinterpreted, misconstrued to say that. So, in light of the fact that the poor wording of Schofield's notes that were corrected way back in 1917, don't you think it's time to put aside that criticism, those accusations, lay them to rest? But oh no. In 1960, another reform man, Clarence Bass, wrote and against dispensationalism, and he reintroduced to a new generation of readers that might not be familiar with what had gone on a generation before, and he accused them of that old accusation long decades after the correction had already been made in print and publicly as you could do it. And not only did that old accusation get revived and the correction ignored in 1960, but getting a little closer to today, in 1991, John Gerstner wrote a book entitled, kind of clever, Wrongly Dividing the Word of Truth. And it's an attack on dispensationalism, and we often use the expression rightly dividing the word of truth. It's an expression from the Bible, you can't fault that. But he kind of turned it against us and said wrongly dividing the word of truth. And how did he prove that we were wrongly dividing? Well, he used many arguments, but one of them was he dug up that old accusation again that had been put to rest back in 1917. So Chafer's poorly worded sentence in 1948 in his systematic theology and Schofield's poorly worded statement back in the earlier 1917, they keep getting dug up again and presented as if those were the common views of dispensationalists because they were made by two very prominent dispensationalists. But in both cases, they were a few sentences here or there out of volumes of works, writings that these men have made, taken out of context and made to mean what the author never intended. They were clarified by the author, but it doesn't matter. The critics keep on digging up the old without the correction, and that's not fair. In 1965, Charles Ryrie wrote a book entitled Dispensationalism Today. Excellent book. And partly perhaps as a rebuttal of Clarence Bass's book against dispensational truth in 1960. And Ryrie clearly spelled out what dispensationalists believe about salvation. And his point is that we believe that salvation is exactly the same in every age. And he made the following observations. He said the basis of salvation in every age is the death of Christ. Old Testament saints were saved because in time Jesus would die for their sins. And Paul says that in Romans 3. The death of Christ was the basis of, Paul says, of the forgiveness of sins that are past and present and future as well. So the basis in every age is always the death of Christ. Apart from that, nobody would ever be saved. The one requirement for salvation is faith. And that's the same in every age. Even in the dispensation of promise, we read in Genesis, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So he was justified by faith. And Paul uses him as his number one illustration from the Old Testament as to how men are saved today. The same way Father Abraham was, by grace through faith. And then in every dispensation, the object of our faith is always in God. And again, in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But there is one thing that does change from age to age, and that's because of the progress of revelation. So God expects men to believe whatever amount of revelation they have been given in their day and age. So the content of our faith does change. For example, Abraham believed God. He believed what God had revealed about himself at the time, but he didn't believe in the Trinity. Abraham didn't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He had never heard of the name Jesus Christ before. So it's not fair and it's not sensible to expect Old Testament saints to know and to believe truth that had not yet been revealed. And so we don't expect them to believe those details. Abraham believed God, and that was good enough in Abraham's day, but not for today. In fact, there's no, in the book of Acts, we're told that after the cross, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. So you can't be saved today just by believing in God generically. We have to believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and his Son died for our sins and rose again. So the content of our faith does change from age to age. But this is hardly saying that there are two ways of salvation. Unfortunately, those accusations continue until today. We mentioned John Gerstner in 1991 in his book entitled Wrongly Dividing the Word of Truth. He accused, again, Scofield and Chafer of teaching two ways of salvation because of what they said back in 1917 and 1948, and he revived that old accusation. And he quotes, and he says, here's a quote from his book. He says, "We must sadly accuse dispensationalists of all varieties of teaching always implicitly and sometimes explicitly that there is more than one way of salvation." Well, yeah, it is a sad accusation because it's not true. It wasn't true in the early 1900s, and it's not true in the early 20s either. He goes on to say, "Thus we see that the charge that dispensationalism teaches more than one way of salvation is well-founded." No, it isn't well-founded. He needs to do a little more homework. Those two accusations, two sentences, a couple of sentences from a few of their writings over a century ago, they've already been cleared up by both authors. One was settled in 1917. The other was settled in the 1940s. By the authors themselves when they said, "I don't believe that, that's not what I meant," and they reworded those poorly worded sentences. It's a red herring. The problem is many young men today and young women today are reading and learning about theology for the first time, and they come across all these critiques by doctors of theology, and they're reading many things that are against dispensationalism, that are really harshly criticizing dispensationalism. And what do you think they're going to think if they read, "Wow, this man said that dispensationalists teach two different means of salvation"? We don't. We never have, and hopefully we never will. It's a red herring, it's a smear, and for those who know about the corrections, it's dishonest. You know, there have been some Reformed theologians that have also written some things that were poorly worded. A Presbyterian, a very well-known author, O.T. Alice, wrote, "The law is a declaration of the will of God for man's salvation." Well, that sure sounds like salvation by the law. But he corrected it. That's not what Reformed theologians believe. And so as a dispensationalist, a poorly worded sentence in one of his theology books, that's the end of the argument. That's not what Reformed theologians believe. So why promote something and keep an accusation going that you know isn't true? More recently, John MacArthur wrote in a book called Hard to Believe. He said, "Salvation comes from a life lived in obedience and service to Christ." And he went on to say, "The life we live, not the words we speak, determine our eternal destiny." The life we live determines our eternal destiny? And our salvation comes from a life lived in obedience? Well, you know, those were poorly worded, but he acknowledged his error, and he fixed it. That's the end of the argument for me. You know how many books John MacArthur has written? He has written volumes and volumes of books. So it's not fair to take out a sentence or two from an author and then assume, they take it out of context sometimes, and then paint with a broad brush all dispensationalists and say, that's what all dispensationalists believe. Well, it isn't, and it's not fair. So let me say, for this dispensationalist right here, I believe that salvation is the same in every age. No one has ever been saved by anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It was the payment for sins of all mankind. And man's responsibility has never been anything other than simple childlike faith in God. And whatever revelation concerning the person of God he has, whatever time frame he lived in. And that's always been the case. So let's not dig up old accusations. And if you're reading in a theology book and you hear one of those, don't be shaken by them. They just aren't true.